This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Okay, of the last 13 running backs to receive at least $10 million guaranteed on a new contract, none of them have done what in those deals? It is hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here, home of the Cowboys, and this is a segment I really would love the Cowboys to hear. Yeah, we're talking Zeke. Let's just keep it football, though. I mean, I don't think you have to consider anything other than football reasons to talk about letting him go after two more years. But our friend Bobby Belt tweeted something about the running back position that the Cowboys really need to take into consideration. And I would like to cordially invite each one of you to take into consideration. If you're already yelling at the radio, you can't do it without Zeke, he's the straw that stirs the drink, all this stuff. I need to reset it. The running back situation has evolved and it sucks. But the truth is, being a superstar at running back matters a lot less than it used to. And being young at running back matters a lot more than it used to. So let me first of all give you the 13 running backs, the last 13, to get a new contract with at least $10 million guaranteed. And you tell me what these guys have in common. Todd Gurley.
Well, I know what he has in common with himself. It's not good.
Him and David Johnson have lower extremity injuries in common. That's probably going to be a pretty big theme here with that position. Devontae Freeman, Shady McCoy, Jerick McKinnon, Lamar Miller, muscle hamster, but don't call him Doug Martin, DeMarco Murray, Chris Ivory, Jonathan Stewart, there with the Panthers, Arian Foster, Houston, Adrian Peterson, and then, of course, Beast Mode, Marshawn Lynch. They all got new deals, $10 million or more. What do they have in common, Jeff?
Oh, what do they have in common?
They all get hurt?
They did not.
It doesn't end as well as it starts?
There you go.
Okay.
None of them ran for their career high in yards with that new contract. The best was already behind them is to me, the major takeaway. And it does suck because so many of the stars from the history of the game have been running backs.
Yeah.
You know, and I love running backs. They're the best athletes on the field. They score touchdowns. They're usually awesome dudes that, you know, are right there in front of the camera. And they, you know, they have, you know, had their signature all over the league for a long, long time when it comes to being superstars and having SportsCenter worthy plays. I mean, some of my greatest memories of watching football are because of the running back position. So for a lot of us, especially the older generation, I don't think young fans are going to look at it quite like this because they're coming into a game where they're asking the running back to do a lot more receiver type of stuff. And the running back position is not as much of an icon as it was. But, yeah, I've been conditioned to love running backs. Everybody has. Everybody's been taught, hey, this is it was the most important position for a long, long time. But what they did is they changed the game, and they made passing the ball significantly easier, and then the quarterbacks got better. I don't want to put it just on the rules. I mean, the coaches, the quarterbacks, and the wide receivers have all gotten so good that if you're running the ball, you're putting your team behind the eight ball. Unless you're running the ball, here's the thing, when the other defense is convinced you're going to pass. And then it doesn't matter if you can break yards after the first contact. Oh, look at all these yards I got after first contact. Well, guess what? The running backs that are running the most efficient are in passing games that already are giving that to you. You're already getting to that level of the defense where they got to rally everybody and get to you. So this dirty yard concept, wow, he got that extra half yard. Forget that. Just pass again. You want more expected yards? You don't need the superstar running back that might get you a half yards to three-quarter yards per carry more over the course of a season. What you just need to do is pass the ball more efficiently and go take 8 yards. So that's kind of where we're at, and I wonder how much the Cowboys are going to be looking at it, Jeff.
I think they know it. I don't know if their actions will reflect that they know it, but I think they know it. I think they have realized a lot of things. That's why after going on such a great run, 7-1 to end the year and making the postseason after adding Amari Cooper. Like, even after going all that, their head coach is on the hot seat because they know things that their team could do better that they don't. They know about the antiquated stuff, and they know about the outdated stuff.
With the scheme, do they know that about positional value?
They do.
Are they willing to confront that? That's the big question, right?
Okay, the first one is, the first one is yes, and the second one I think is no. I think that they know it, but I think that they're going to look at Ezekiel Elliott as being so good, and this goes back to how you started this. I don't want this to be true.
No.
I want having the best runner in the league to mean that life is awesome and you're going to win a bunch and give him his money and let's go. Woohoo, this is great. And I think they will. I think they, unless there are other off-field things that give them pause,
yeah,
I think they would look at him, and because what they're going to do is they're going to look at the end of his deal, and he's going to be, instead of DeMarco's going into his age 28 year, his will be like 26.
Mm.
And so they'll go, oh, you know, he's not. Yeah. At the end,
we got three more good years in here.
Right. I think they'll talk themselves into it because it's good for business. But it'll never be a good idea. And if it hurts your cowboy or sports heart to hear this talk, pretend we're not talking about Zeke.
I can't
pretend we're talking about the Rams and the mistake they made paying Todd Gurley. Even if his knee wasn't bad, it would have been a mistake to sign that deal.
I thought you were wrong, Gavin, when you named all the running backs and you named Adrian Peterson. But I mean, it's completely right. I couldn't believe this. So his first four years in the NFL, his lowest total was his fourth year where he ran for 1,298 yards, and he was averaging 4.6 per carry. And then in his sixth year, so this would be kind of your last year of Zeke if you played it out of, we're picking up your fifth-year option and we're franchise-tagging you. That was his 2,000-yard season. Then from there, that was 2012, so 6 years in the NFL. Here comes years seven through the end. 1,266 yards, 75 yards.
Oh, this is pension year.
1,485 yards, 72 yards, 520 yards, and last year, 1,042 yards. Like, literally after his sixth year, wow. It was over.
Wow.
He had, from 2013 to 2018, he has had 3,000-yard seasons in that six-year span or five-year span. But I was like, no, like Adrian Peterson's the best I've seen in the last 15 years at the running back position, and he just seems to be like a
timeless,
hoss and everything.
Yeah.
And I get that he's had injuries where one game for 75 yards and blew out. But I was like, wait. I mean, it really, after 6 years in the NFL, it was kind of over. Not completely over, but it was over as being a dominant guy.
I mean, it's just so risky, you know, for injury reasons. But then when you think, okay, we're going to pay this guy and maybe he doesn't get hurt, but there's just something so profound about getting into your late 20s at running back that maybe wasn't true. Because for the longest time, running backs would play into their 30s and still be effective. But is it the speed and size of the linebackers? Will the defensive ends track you down in today's game? What is it about maybe a half second of a 40 time that you lose in that first half decade of your NFL career that is, you know, stopping running backs from being as good as they were at 23, 24?
It's a great question. The Cowboys, I mean, Fisher has told us, their study basically says 28 is the number where you go, uh-oh, we're in trouble here. So, I mean, obviously the amount of damage that you take as a running back, especially if you're somebody like Zeke or Todd Gurley or pick your bell cow type that's going to touch the ball 350 times a year. Now, if you're a starter, as soon as you get in the league, especially if you're highly drafted, guy, that means, I promise, for at least 2 years in college, you were getting the ball 250, 300 times.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if anybody wants to go out back in the backyard and for 5 or 6, 7 years, just go ram into the fence 300 times and do that for 7 straight years. Like, it takes a toll, and you're not going to be quite the same, and you can still be good. Adrian Peterson's still pretty good.
Yeah.
He's 100 years old, and he's still pretty good. Zeke will always be a good player, but I just think between the fact that it's the most reliant position in football, what you do is determined by what the people in front of you do. It's not determined by yourself. Zeke can do more than most on his own, maybe more than anybody on his own, but you're still, most of what you can do is determined by other people. Combined with the fact that you're not 21 years old anymore. You're not 22 years old anymore. You've been hit now 3,000, 2,000 more times, 1,500 more times, something like that. It's just, it's tough.
It's crazy because, You know, and I've been talking for years how the running backs need their own union because they shouldn't have to wait 4 or 5 years to become free agents, especially if you weren't drafted in the first round. It's robbery. And then after 4 years, it's like, okay, goodbye. But, you know, what do you do about it? You're looking at a position that should actually make less in the second contract. If we were going to be accurate, it's like, okay, you're a free agent now. Every other position, you get a raise of about 3 to 10 times your salary. But you guys, you're old now. And I know you're coming off a 1,800-yard season, but you're going to need a pay cut.
Yeah, and I don't know what to do about that. And I don't think the union, they'll be able to do a running backs union.
No, it just it needs to be negotiated by the teams. And I think the teams are in the process of gaining knowledge on this, and they're going to reset it to, sorry, if we're doing second contracts, they need to be very team-friendly with lots of options.
I'm glad that Jeff talked about the 28 years old, because I will be willing to do this with Zeke, is play out this year, his fourth year, play out his fifth year, and be like, all right, we won't do the franchise tag. We'll do a deal. You can make it 5 years. I don't care. 3 years guaranteed.
Something like that.
And so we get to 28 years old.
That's a win.
We get to 8 years in the NFL. We got 8 years in the NFL to you, and then we have to get rid of you, because what you're just putting up there, Gavin, is it just, and especially in the recent football history, is nobody can do this. Nobody can do this at 30 years old productively. I mean, Peterson kind of last year 4.2, but before that, you have to go back to 2015 when he was actually a decent player.
And Mike, I'm kind of with you. I don't think I'd be upset if they want to keep him, you know, for the next 5 years and work out a deal like that. But I could also get on board with the idea that, and what do you think, Jeff, that we're already overpaying Zeke on a rookie contract to be in the $8 million range because you were picked so high already. So I'm thinking franchise tag, fifth-year option. If the Cowboys said no on those, I could sign off on that plan as well.
I've never truly agreed with Jeff on the, like, a top 10 pick, like, you don't take a running back, but this segment's really changing my mind. And I love Zeke as a player and think that he can help lead the team to a Super Bowl. Earlier in the day, I think he's going to go over 1,400 yards easily. I think he's going to be an MVP candidate, because I do think the Cowboys are finally going to get to an NFC championship game and maybe even a Super Bowl this year. And I think he's going to be a major part of that if that all happens. But still, when you look at the history of these guys, when they get close to 30 years old, you have to get rid of them, and they should not be on your team. The only way they're on your team is you're like, yeah, we'll pay you $2.5 million to be the backup running back and carry the ball 7 to 10 times a game.
You good on that one, Jeff?
Yeah.
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Got a little room here for a backsider. Do you guys remember the school resource officer who stood outside while the Parkland High School shooting was going on in Florida 14 months ago?
I remember the story of the shooting. I don't remember the story of this person.
So he was Scott Peterson.
He's like a track star.
Sheriff's deputy. He'd been assigned to the school. He wasn't just a security guard. He was a cop, a real police officer. But he waited outside Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School while a shooter killed 17 people. He has now been arrested. They arrested him on child neglect charges for not running into the building. That's his job. So he's being held now on $105,000 bond. It's described as his lack of response for the February 14th shooting. He'll get 7 counts of child neglect, 3 counts of culpable negligence, and 1 count of perjury, because apparently he lied about it when he said he didn't go into the school because he didn't know where the gunfire was coming from. Dispatch records show Peterson not only knew the shots, where they were coming from inside the freshman building, but check this out. He also directed his fellow officers to stay away from that location.
Wow.
He only not only went coward, he went, you guys should be cowards too. Trust me. There's one man in there who's shooting kids. We better not go in. What a disaster.
That sucks. And I don't envy. I mean, I think you can tie this into what's going on with the Dallas Police Department right now, where they're 700 people short, and so crime's out of control, and it sucks.
Yeah. 700 now?
So I saw a number this morning that from 2011, they're down 700.
I guess they got their retirement taken.
Yeah, they were jacking with their pension and their salaries and stuff like that. And then I think also at this point, because our world has become so divided, a lot of people just may not want to be a police officer.
Yeah.
But I think you can tie all those things together, because that job is not one that I would envy, because part of what you're signing up for is I'm willing.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to train for it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that the first time that you're confronted with, hey, remember what we signed up for?
Yeah.
Remember what we did the training for?
Yeah, you got
to
go.
Now it's real life.
I know.
And you have to go pull your gun out.
Yeah.
Go into somewhere where somebody has already shown that they're willing to kill people and make yourself a target. That's terrifying, but you signed up for it. And if you're not able to do it, you should be punished.
I kind of feel for this guy because obviously he made a mistake, but
he's got to be humiliated right now.
But it's just that the fight or flight in him went to flight. And we just
shut him down.
Like, I have to do CPR class every year just in case somebody at the spin class or whatever, you know, goes into cardiac arrest or whatever. And I'm always like, I know how to do this, but I don't know if I'll totally panic and screw it up and totally forget what to do and then accidentally me be part of accidentally killing this person because I totally panic. Because, yeah, I can do this on a dummy. I can do this when I'm just sitting around watching a video. But can I do this when somebody's actually...
But it's not your job. Your job is to do that bike and teach people how to do that bike. His job is to get real when things get real.
Okay, not only was it his job, the story gets even crazier.
Uh-oh.
It was also his job to train people in these situations.
Oh, wow.
Yes, Peterson not only attended multiple active shooter trainings throughout his career and most recently attended a four-hour training in April. During that training, deputies were instructed to immediately assess what you have and prepare to spawn if they are on the scene and hear gunshots. They were told, remember, every time you hear a gunshot in an active shooter incident, you have to assume and believe that another victim has been killed. You know, that is your prompt for urgency. And he was actually the instructor at this course, teaching other police officers what you do in shooting situations. Just crazy.
It's bizarre to think of going from training to, okay, go in and it's life or death now.
I don't know if I would do it. That's why I wouldn't want to be a cop, because I feel like I would be this guy possibly, and then I'd have to live with myself for the rest of my life. Knowing,
right, then you have to look people in the eye whose kids are no longer here, and it's like it's because you couldn't do your job.
Hey, in the military, it's called dereliction of duty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't do what you're supposed to do.
There's no doubt
what
it
you
is.
Signed up for, man.
But I'm empathetic towards him.
Well, I told you here. And another thing, though, I this is like the third or fourth time I'm here. I don't know how real it is because of the quote-unquote climate nowadays. That we don't have people wanting to sign up to be police officers. What happened in the 60s? Did like people not want to be police officers then?
I don't know.
When there was a civil rights movement going on, and they were basically talking about the same exact thing. This quote unquote woke stuff is not new.
Hmm. Yeah,
in
I don't know.
In the 70s, they brought it up again. In the 80s, like, does it fall off when the conversation goes up? I need to go into that.
I think that could be part of it, and I think social media is part of it, that it makes everything more divided and everybody more vocal, and
people hate fellow Americans more, but I don't know. I wasn't around in the 60s.
Right. But so, it's like we're putting it all on, hey, man, they don't want to get shot anymore, so crap, we can't be cops.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's a good point. I was looking at it like, I don't want to go serve my country because I'm going to end up sacrificing myself for a bunch of people I hate. You know,
I totally understand.
I think that might be why people are like, no, I don't want to go protect, you know, groups of people that I have a high degree of hatred for.
I understand.
I think that's where the social media component comes in with getting everybody at each other's throats. Okay, we are late. Great conversation, though, and I thought that was an incredible story as a 14-month investigation came to a conclusion yesterday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.